This is New York Now.
Hi, I'm Casey Seiler from the Albany Times-Union, and welcome to the third installment of the Democratic National Convention edition of the New York Now Convention Cast. I'm here with Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio, and we are happy to be joined by State Senator Michael Gennaris, who, like Donald J. Trump, is a native of Queens. What is it with you, Queens?
That's where the similarities end.
Probably so. But also in charge of figuring out the strategy for the Democrats to take back the Senate, which we'll get to in a minute. But we want to ask your reaction to last night, the Bernie delegates. There's just so much going on here all the time. What is standing out for you?
It's been an exciting couple of days, and I think that the purpose of these conventions is to bring the Democratic family together and hash out the remaining disagreements or ill feelings from the primary, and then move forward to a unified front towards November. And I think we're making great strides towards achieving that. You saw Bernie Sanders himself endorse Hillary Clinton and have the Vermont delegation with him sitting at their side close down the nominating process and make sure that that Hillary Clinton was put in as the nominee by acclamation. So I think we're you saw it between Monday and Tuesday nights. Monday was a much more contentious time on the floor, and yesterday much less so. And I think you'll see it get even less contentious and more unified as we move through today and tomorrow.
Now, you're a Hillary supporter, I would assume, obviously. Yeah. But do you have some sympathy for the Bernie delegates?
Of course. They worked extremely hard and came up a little bit short. But that's, you know, that's politics. People have spoken. I know there's been a lot of talk about the superdelegates, but Secretary Clinton was ahead among the actual pledged delegates as well as the superdelegates. And so she won fair and square, and I think Senator Sanders has realized that. They've made some great strides in getting a platform for the party that they approve of, and getting some commitment on reforms going forward, such as limiting the number of superdelegates in the coming elections. So they've definitely had an influence, and they deserve to, and they're a big part of the Democratic tent going forward, and hopefully we'll all be pulling in the same direction, because one thing that Senator Sanders himself said, I believe it was just yesterday at the California delegation breakfast, that it's easy to sit there and boo, but it's hard to look your children in the face when Donald Trump's the president and say that you are responsible for that. And I think that's what's going to bring a lot of people together.
What do you think the Trump factor is going to be in some of the tight Senate races? You know, you've helped put together the sort of playbook for how the Senate Democrats are hoping to retake the majority. Where do you think the Trump factor, whether it's, you know, affection for Trump or antipathy to him, is going to make a difference in a Senate race? Or do you think it's not sort of a one-to-one factor?
I think it's going to have a significant impact. And we had a trial run of that dynamic in the special election we had in April in Nassau County. It was, as you remember, the same day as the presidential primary. There were contested primaries on both sides that day. And the Republicans were crowing about how that was going to pull many Republicans to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. And we saw the exact opposite happen, that the base Democratic voters turned out in greater numbers than expected because there's enthusiasm in New York, at least. I can't speak for the rest of the country, but there's enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton in New York and tremendous antipathy towards Donald Trump. I think we're going to see that move forward into November in the contested districts that we're looking at. Most of them are in the suburbs on Long Island and in the northern suburbs of New York City, as well as further up in the Hudson Valley. And the polls make this clear, whether it's Siena, where we saw Hillary Clinton not just winning the state, which she's obviously going to win, but doing significantly better than Donald Trump in these key demographics, in the suburbs, among independents, in some of the areas where the Republicans would need support to win, and they're not getting it right now.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you. What about upstate? Because I think Trump does have stronger support upstate. You know, Long Island, you're right, that was a trial run, and you saw that Trump didn't help the candidate. But upstate, is it different? I mean, there's a couple contested races. I know there's one in the Capital region, right, the Amador Sarah Nicoli race.
Yeah, that's an interesting district because that stretches all the way down to Ulster County.
I forgot that. It's actually Southern Tier, Hudson Valley.
Right.
You're right.
A little bit of everything. Yeah. It certainly has upstate in it. It also has Hudson Valley in it and everywhere in between. But yes, and we're looking at this district further to the west where Leslie Denksberg is putting on a tremendous showing against Tom O'Mara. There's the seat in Buffalo. That is currently held by Mark Panapinto. That's an open seat now. And then there's a serious candidate against Ranzenhofer. So there are certainly upstate districts, and that is where Trump has greater strength. There's no question about it. But there are plenty of districts in the places where he is weak, whether it's Long Island or in northern Westchester or Putnam and Dutchess counties, Orange County, where we're expecting to see some significant coattails, not just from Hillary Clinton on the positive side, but coattails for us because Donald Trump is on the ticket. There are going to be people coming out in droves to vote against him because they realize the danger he poses to our country.
What about the factor of another prominent New Yorker in this fall's races, and that, of course, is Governor Andrew Cuomo? Every time the governor has been asked about, you know, what he's going to be doing for Senate Democrats this fall, he has always said, and, you know, I'll characterize it as a somewhat generic statement of, look, I support Democrats. But then yesterday, on a Tuesday, when he was asked that question, he offered the caveat that, well, you know, as long as they're moral people, as long as they're not criminals, which was a great relief to all of us. But, you know, the governor is sitting on a campaign kitty of close to $20 million. That is, you know, that's a money bomb that could do a lot of good for your conference. You know, what are you hoping to see from the governor this fall?
Well, first of all, we can all agree that we shouldn't be supporting criminals.
So. Good. And glad
you're agreeing
on that.
So resolved.
And as a Democratic conference, we've made great strides over the last few years to improve our conference and our membership in our conference. We're very proud of that under the leadership of Andrea Stewart Cousins. Beyond that, what can the governor's support mean? It can mean a couple of things. Look, he's not on the ticket this year. He's not running for election this year as he was 2 years ago. And so that is when his influence is the greatest, when we're both on the same ticket.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there to say that 2 years ago when he was running, by this point in the cycle, he had said that, or he had celebrated the fact that the IDC, the Independent Democratic Conference, the breakaway conference, was planning on rejoining the main body of the conference that, of course, you represent. The governor had been more vocal, especially when he was trying to win the endorsement of the Working Families Party and saying, you know, we need to see a progressive Senate. We haven't seen much in the way of that this year.
From the governor, you mean?
From the governor, correct.
Yeah, but my point that I was starting to make is that his influence when he's on the ticket is much more relevant than when he's not.
True.
So we start from there. So what can he do? He can endorse our candidates, which he did in the special election, for example, and we use that to great effect, and we're hopeful, and his statements seem to indicate we can expect that going forward into November, so that's important to us. And assistance with fundraising is definitely something we can use. We are always outspent by the Republicans. They have the notoriously deep-pocketed donors, some of who spend their money in the non-transparent independent expenditure committees that Citizens United has allowed in this country. They're in the special election, the charter school interest spent $1.5 million in 10 days, in the last 10 days of that campaign, which is an obscene amount of money. So the Republicans are always
big backers of the governor.
And of the Senate Republicans. And what we see is we get outspent, but we know how to win races as long as we have the bare minimum to run competitive races. So we can always use help. There's more districts that we can play in that are held by Republicans than resources we have to get into them all. There's probably 10 districts held by Republicans that we think we can compete for. That's an awful lot of money if you want to run campaigns in all 10 of them. And so the more help we can get with that, the better.
I don't know, Mike. I think I disagree with you in the special Senate race. I think it was the Mel Brooks robocall that actually put people over.
It helped. Well, when you win by 800 votes, as Senator Kaminsky did, every bit helps.
Yeah, he's a nephew of the famous comedian. Do you think that Cuomo could actually hurt in some upstate districts, too, if he were to show up and be on the hustings for a candidate? Because there are some areas where he's just not that popular.
Well, again, if he's not on the ticket, it's less relevant.
So I think it just doesn't resonate with people if he's not on the ticket.
Yeah, because people, and we saw it in 2014, there were areas where our candidates, you know, even outperformed him in some of these districts. So the top of the ticket has a tremendous influence on the down ballot races. Mm-hmm. And so not only do we have the presidential race, which I think will be to our benefit, but Senator Schumer's up for election this year, and we have some very competitive congressional races that overlap with our competitive districts. So I think there's going to be a lot of factors about getting people to the polls. Everyone likes to focus on the governor. He's the top Democrat in the state. I get it. We want his support. We welcome his support, and we appreciate his support when we get it. But there's a lot of factors going into this election, first and foremost being the Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump dynamic, and we're very confident about the way that's going to play out for us.
And what do you think about the Senate leader, John Flanagan, saying last week he's all in for Trump? That was the strongest statement I've heard him make, even though he also said last week that there's a lot of things he doesn't agree with Trump about, particularly foreign policy, like building the big wall against Mexico and banning Muslims. How does that play in?
Let's just say we were very pleased to hear that from Senator Flanagan. Our spokesperson made a very insightful comment in reaction to that, and he said, "We always knew that the Republicans would go down with the ship with Donald Trump, but we never thought they'd be the sign on to be his first mates as they hit the iceberg." And that seems to be where Senator Flanagan is taking his conference. If they want to align themselves with Donald Trump, we're happy to help them make that point.
So you're still a young fella, Frank Gennaris, but you have been doing political work for a long, long time. I'm sure that the proper Democratic answer would be to say that this, of course, is the most dramatic political convention you've ever attended. So I'll give you that out. What is the one other than the one we're currently attending in your memory? How many conventions have you attended?
I've been to three at this point. Mm-hmm. And you're asking which convention was the most dramatic?
Yeah.
Interesting question. I would probably say the first nomination of Barack Obama was just a tremendous historical pivot point for our country.
Denver in 08.
Yes. Mm-hmm. An incredible amount of enthusiasm from the Democrats assembled there. And we look back on it now because we've had 8 years of his presidency. But the notion that an African American would be elected president of this country was something that a decade ago people would scoff at. And to be able to see that happen and to be a part of that is just an amazing, amazing part of history.
Yeah, and now we're facing the other barrier, the woman president.
That's right. That's right. We have another historical first that we achieved just last night when we nominated Hillary Clinton, and hopefully we'll finish the job in November.
If you were advising her on what she needs to do with her Thursday night speech, speaking broadly, what do you think she needs to accomplish?
She needs to show people who she is, and by that I mean someone who would be a steady hand for the economy of this country, as well as for the foreign policy of this country. The biggest contrast is between the candidates this year is between someone in Hillary Clinton who has decades of experience in government, in all facets of government, who knows government inside and out, who's achieved great things for people, whether it's increasing their access to health care or bringing stability around the world, versus someone who you wake up and you open the paper and you're afraid to see what Donald Trump has said or where he's taking this country. Never mind the comments he's made about relationships with Russia or with our NATO allies. And these are just things that even Republican experts in the field are afraid of what this man might do. He is a madman in a lot of ways. And that would take our country, which has a tremendous responsibility to the rest of the world as the most powerful country in the world, and put us in a very dangerous and scary place. And I think once the people of this country focus on that, the decision will be clear as we get to November.
It's sad to see one Queens guy turn against another, but there you go. That was State Senator and Deputy Conference Leader Mike Gennaris of Queens. Thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. I'm Casey Seiler of the Albany Times-Union. I'm here with Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio, and that was the New York Now Convention Cast.